Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for letting us to come to you. Thank you for giving us your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us in the cross. Thank you very much. Today we have Yinka speaking for you. Please help him so that he can speak whatever you want him to. Please help us to have a humble heart so that we can listen to your words, we can remember it, and then we can use it and work it out in our daily lives. Thank you very much. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Really, really excited. And today we're beginning a series on discipleship. We have 53 sessions that we've prepared for the church. And all of the teaching that we're going to do on Sundays will be followed up by discipleship notes in all the groups across the church for the next year. This year, we're looking at discipleship as being the most important thing that we need to understand. And so we will do discipleship through God's Word. We'll look at the Word of God discipling us. We'll look at discipleship through evangelism, reaching out to the lost. And you will disciple the people that you lead to Christ. And also, we're looking at discipling of families that come into the community, that we will love people that come, and we will include them and make them feel at home. God always watches to see how we treat people and whether we love them or not. God always wants to know what's really in our hearts. And God gives us an opportunity to examine our own hearts and to make sure that we're not just looking to our own needs, but we're looking to the needs of other people. This is really important. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read. Today we're starting with stewardship, stewardship of the environment. And we're going to be looking for the next 2 weeks at stewardship. And what does that mean? What does that mean for us as Christians? What does it mean for the church? What does it mean for you as an individual? What does it mean for your community, for the town in which you live? What does stewardship mean according to the Word of God? And I'm going to start from Genesis chapter 41, if you have your Bibles, and reading from verse 41. Very important for many reasons. Important from the point of view that here is a man. It could easily be a woman, but here's an individual who has a call from God, a dream that God put in his heart, that one day he would be a redeemer, a savior, a helper sent by God to help the nation that were in trouble. I want to tell you, wherever you come from today, if you're part of the gate, God has sent you here because God wants you to be an individual that changes the environment of everybody around you. You're not here to sit in pews. You're here to make an impact upon this nation, upon this area, upon this community, and you need to believe the things that God put in your heart. You're here for a reason and you're here for a purpose. And so in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 41, we read this. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus, he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephaniah-Paneah and gave him Aseneth, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout the land, throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentiful. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up a huge quantity of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Aseneth, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim. He said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had said, there was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was so severe. You know, your destiny is written by God in heaven. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And understanding this is important for you. You see, it took Joseph 30 years to enter the fullness of the promises that God made to him when he was a little boy. 30 years in which he suffered and he struggled. It was hard. I don't know if he caught COVID, because COVID wasn't around then. But he suffered. And you know, there are many Christians who, because of suffering, miss their destiny. There are many Christians who, because of difficulty or pain or hardship, walk away from their calling, walk away from the purposes of God, who through difficulty, and I'm not talking about difficulty within the context of church, because that we ought to be able to handle. I'm talking about difficulty in life. I'm talking about difficulty in the course of just living. Who through difficulty lose the focus of God's purpose for their life. But Joseph never did that. Joseph kept his focus absolutely clear. And what did God say to him? You know, God raised him up not just to save his family. God raised him up to save the whole world. And Jesus has a world vision. Jesus doesn't just want us to save the world one and twos. Jesus wants us to go into all the world and preach the good news to all of creation. Jesus wants everybody to be saved. Jesus loves everybody. And so we understand that Joseph stewarded. What do we mean by steward? He looked after. He nurtured. the prophetic gift that was given to him about his destiny. He didn't treat it with disrespect. He didn't treat it with dishonor. He honored God's word to him. He held on to God's word to him. And so Joseph was a good steward of what the Lord had spoken over his life. And we see lessons from Joseph's life that apply today, and we'll come to that in a minute. But a couple of more things. You see, Joseph, because he was able to steward the call of God upon his life, he was also able to enter the destiny that God had seen for his life. And when the 7 years of plenty came, he was obedient to the word that God gave him. He began to store up all of the grain because he knew that the 7 years of famine were coming. Now, here is the amazing thing I love about this story. One of the things I love about this story was that, you know, all the pain he experienced, falsely accused of something he didn't do, inappropriate with a woman. He never did it, but he was accused of it. The pain of being a slave, sold into slavery by his own family, his own brothers. The pain of languishing in jail. Joseph experienced a lot of pain in his life. A lot of pain in his life. But you know, he didn't let the pain define who he was. He didn't let the pain speak louder than God's word to him. In all his suffering, he still believed God. He still believed what God said to him. And I know, because my Hong Kong brothers and sisters, but not just my Hong Kong brothers and sisters, right across the church, I know that the last 2 years have been really difficult for many people for different reasons. So I think it's in February, is it February or March? On March the 6th, we're going to have a special Sunday in which we're going to have a healing Sunday. And we're going to let God heal our broken hearts. We're going to ask God to heal our broken lives. We're going to ask God to heal our emotions and our wounds that we've carried. And we're going to believe God for more healing. As Charisse has shared her own personal testimony, we're going to believe God for supernatural physical healings as well. And that's in March. We're going to have a special day in which we're going to let God heal our wounds and our hurts, our disappointments. These are really important things if you want to make progress with the purposes of God for your life. And so it took all of that pain, but Joseph didn't let it stop him from believing God. And eventually he got a wife. Anybody here wants a wife or a husband? We can pray for you. Yes. Or you can look around yourself. Joseph had a wife and he had children. And when the children came, the children were signs of, to him, of God's blessing upon his life. And his second son, in particular Ephraim, which is about talking about fruitfulness, spoke to him about the fact that now God had given him rest from all his suffering and all his pain. And now he was living in a place of fruitfulness. Now, I know about you and I know about me. When I'm going from a journey, especially when there's children in the back of the car and they start to say, are we there yet? I wish I could be at the end of the journey, not because I don't like the journey, but because of the children saying, are we there yet in the back of the car? And sometimes we want to arrive at the blessing and we don't want to experience the pain. But you need to understand that life is about overcoming in good and in bad, and that God has made you an overcomer in this life. So we learn lessons from Joseph's life. What do we learn? Natural disasters impact the whole world. And God sees them coming. God knows they're coming. We live in a world that is broken at this point in time and that needs the healing hand of God upon it. But we learn from Joseph that natural disasters impact the world. Second lesson we learn from Joseph is this, that divine wisdom can avert and mitigate against natural disasters. That the wisdom of God can help us overcome natural disasters and do something about them. Thirdly, we learn this. You must pay attention and prepare. If there are things happening in the world, God has got a view on what we can do about it. So we must listen to him and do our best to prepare what we believe he's asking us to do. We learn from Joseph this. One obedient nation, one nation that does the right thing could end up saving the world. And so Joseph in Egypt, by obeying God, was able to feed the whole world, even though the whole world was in famine. One obedient nation can change the whole world. One obedient Christian can make a big difference. One, just one Christian can transform the outcomes. And we've seen it throughout history. We've seen it when the Jews were oppressed by the Nazis in Germany. We saw individuals who risked their lives to help others and to bring them out of captivity, out of the danger of being murdered in the gas chambers, who risked their own lives to help others. No, one person can make a difference. And we see in this story that one nation can make a difference. And so fair distribution, and Joseph makes sure everybody gets enough. Fair distribution means everybody gets what they need. My second scripture this morning, in which I'm talking about, we as Christians should steward our environment. This is really, really important. It's based on this scripture, Genesis 1 and verse 26 to 27. Genesis 1, verse 26 to 27. Some people don't believe that the world is in trouble. Some people don't believe that there's global warming. Some people don't believe that we're wrecking our planet. But the truth is that there is such a thing as global warming. And all you have to do is go swimming. And before long, you'll see the plastic in the water with your own eyes. We need to do something. We need to do something about the world in which we live. And God expects us to do something about it. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. 1 verse 26, 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves along the ground. And so God gives us dominion over the earth. God gives people rulership over the whole of the created order, over this planet. And that means that we must prove faithful in how we steward, how we look after the planet. The planet is something God has given us a responsibility to look after. You know, in the Bible, what was a steward? Okay. In the Bible, a steward was a household servant. That's what a steward was, a household servant. And usually, it was a who ran the affairs of the house. Usually, he was accountable, the household servant would be accountable to the father in the home, but sometimes it would be to the mother, if there was only a mother who headed up that house. And this is an important understanding. The Bible uses the similar Greek word of when we look at the translation from Hebrew to Greek of the Old Testament. The Bible uses same word, if you like, Picard, translates that as overseer, as a as overseer, as a steward. And it's a word that we use for leader in the church. So the word steward translates as overseer, somebody who looks after the household, who looks after the household on behalf of God. And leaders in the church should set an example of being good stewards of what God has given to us. So God, if you like, is a steward. The Bible says that the whole earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he gives us a responsibility as the owner of the earth to steward it, just like in a household, a steward looks after the affairs of the house for the master. So too, God has given us the whole earth to steward, to look after. It's our responsibility. And Jesus calls those who are given a charge to steward as either being good stewards or bad stewards. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 4. Jesus speaks about this servant, the master who invites individuals to a dinner, but they pay no attention to the servants that he sends out. And they say they're busy doing all kinds of things. And what Jesus points out is this, that self-interest can become a hindrance to God's purposes. So the master sends out people, servants, to invite individuals into his banquet that he's preparing. But they're too busy doing what they want to do with their lives. And so therefore they don't obey the master's injunction. They don't come to the banquet. So the master has to send out his servant to invite anybody that will come. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry we see over here. Also in Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time?" So Jesus talks about the importance of being a good steward of the resources that God has given to us. So the things that God puts in your hand, you only have it for a short time. It doesn't matter how wealthy you become. It doesn't matter how rich you become. You're not going to take it with you when you go to meet Jesus. All the money you make in this life, somebody else will get it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter how much you make. It's irrelevant. You're never taking any of it with you, and somebody else will get it. And so therefore, what are you living for? Some are so busy doing their own thing, they forget we're here to glorify God and to magnify God. That's why we're here on this earth. We're here to bring praise and glory to his name. And how we live and steward what is given to us is a part of our testimony and a part of our witness. And so Jesus is looking for a good steward. And he talks about this steward who's not a very good steward, who's the master comes and says, right, that's it, I've had enough, you are not a good steward, and I'm going to get rid of you. And so he wakes up to his responsibilities. And he goes and he begins to settle all his master's debtors' bills. And he says, right, you know, how much do you owe? You owe, okay, give half of that. How much do you owe? And his master sees him working hard and getting all the money he's owed back in. And so the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. At least you're trying. And so it's important for us to understand that Jesus expects all of us here to be good stewards. He wants us to steward everything we have. And debt management is a part of that. Turn to 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Christians should be good stewards. We should be good stewards of our resources. We should also be good stewards of our gifts that God has given to us. That worship this morning, I felt I was in heaven with the angels. It was just so beautiful. And I don't know about you, but it sounded just wonderful to me. And I was just so blessed by it. I feel so excited by what God is doing with us here. And of course, this is what it says. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Have a look at it. It says this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Wow. So it's not just Wilson and Vivian that need to serve. Okay? It's not just my brother Simon on the... Is it? Samuel. And you began with an S. Samuel on the PA. Okay? All of us. You have a gift. It's not just what's in your pocket that God is interested in. God's interested in your talents, your gifts, and you should use your gifts to serve everybody. This is important. A Christian, a follower of Jesus, will use their gifts, their abilities to serve their brothers and sisters. First to the household of God, first to the church. That's what the Bible says. First in the house, then to those out there. And so it's important. Why? Well, when we learn to use our gifts in here, you find when you work with people, Brother Wilson will find when he's working with me that I'm not perfect. I know it will come as a big surprise to him that the pastor is not perfect. He will be amazed. Because when he sees me, he will think he must be perfect. But then when he works with me, he'll realize, no, he's not perfect at all. And then he will have to learn how to forgive the pastor, because the pastor is not perfect. This is why God wants us to learn in the church how to steward our gifts, because we learn how to cope with disappointment. We learn how to forgive one another. So that when we reach out to the lost, and we must reach out to the lost, we do it with kindness, with mercy, with a forgiving heart. And so, you whatever gifts or talents, if you're good at engineering, we need your help. If you're good at electronics, we need your help. If you can sing, we need your help. If you're great at Bible study, we need your help. If you've got a gift that God has given to you, then please don't sit on your hands, because that's a sign of a bad steward. But rather, each one of us must prove faithful. And listen to what it says. Verse 10 again, each of you, have a look at this scripture. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, very important scripture. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so there are various giftings here. Some of you are incredibly bright with numbers and figures. Please come and help Graham. He's having to work with some of them at the moment. I don't know what your gifting is. Some of you are great at hospitality. Please help us. Welcome people. Help us. Welcome people. Don't let your gift rot away, but rather use it to serve others. And this is what the Bible says. So I want to wind up this morning by coming back to Joseph. So, what stops you from being a great steward of your giftings? What stops you? Well, there are some things that stop people from being great stewards. Great stewards. And the world needs good stewards at the moment. Look, before I talk about the hindrances, let me talk about some of the problems that the world faces if we're going to steward this world. If we're going to steward the world, we must first steward the church. Okay? So if you're going to help this broken world, you've got to first help the church. Because when you learn how to steward your giftings within the church, you will better be able to help steward the problems in the world. Because when people examine you and see what kind of person you are, they'll see there's an integrity to your life. 31% of the world is Christian. 31% of the world is Christian. So the world shouldn't be burning up. If Christians are good stewards, why is the world on fire? Why is there global warming? If we are Christians living as Christians, what are we doing about how we're living that's causing this world? Because you can't blame the Hindus or the Muslims or anybody else. If we were doing what is right as Christians, the world wouldn't be on fire. When you look at the countries that are consuming more resources, most of the resources on the planet, and you look at how they're stewarding their own economies, you realize that we're in trouble. When you look at how people are consuming in the world per individual in a nation, do you know who the greatest consumer is in the world, the greatest per person, per individual within the country? The number one consumer of resources per person in the country is, who would you think it was? Anybody know who they think it could be? Which country? Sorry, can't hear you. US, no, it's not the USA. It's Luxembourg. Luxembourg is number one. It's unbelievable. Luxembourg is number one. It's one of the richest, if not the richest, but it's one of the richest countries in the world. But it's also the country where each individual, I think they're using about 11 times. You need 11 planets, okay? If the whole world behaved like them, you need 11 planets every year to sustain what they're consuming. It's incredible. Number two is Aruba. Number three is Qatar. Number four is Australia. Number five is the United States. Number six is Canada. Then there's Kuwait, Singapore. Number 10 is United Kingdom. United Kingdom is number 10. We're consuming more than we should be, and we're burning up the planet. Look, so if we're going to save the planet, coming back to the hindrances for a minute, before I give some solutions, we must first of all use our giftings within the church. Learn to serve, okay? Don't be a Sunday Christian. Don't be a Sunday Christian. Sunday Christians are not good stewards. Be a Christian every day of the week, okay? Learn to steward. What hinders you? Well, the love of money. Look, you need to. There's nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with being prosperous. It's all good. We thank God for prosperous people, amen? And I thank God for them even more when they tithe. But the love of money feeds many things in people's lives, like envy and you mustn't pursue money as your end goal. To have a desire to create wealth for everybody is great. But to just pursue money in and of itself, that's not a good thing. Do you know what people do when they make lots and lots of money and they get old? People like Bill Gates, they then think, I can't spend it all. What should I do with it? Let me do some worthy causes. Why? Because worthy causes are a legacy that people remember. It is better to pursue great purpose in life than to pursue money. And if you want to create a business, fantastic. But don't let money be your object. Have a look at the values that you're pulling together in the pursuit of your business. Have a business that when you go to bed at night, you can sleep because you know you've done the right thing. Wrong priorities in life. Why do people hinder themselves from pursuing God's purpose? Why do they become bad stewards? Because they have wrong priorities in life. And I've already mentioned unresolved wounds and hurts in people's lives mean that because they're always hurting inside, they can't do anything. Because they're always wounded, everything's painful. They can't really finish anything. And so it's important to let God heal those wounds, and we're going to do that in March. Now, practically, in closing, what can I do? Okay, first thing I can do, I can take my gifting. If you're good at hospitality, come on the hospitality rota. on the first Sunday of every month, we want to all eat together. And I love coming on the first Sunday of every month because I love Hong Kong food. You know, I only like Nigerian food a little bit better, okay? But I love coming because we have great fellowship on the first Sunday. Well, John, if you're great at hospitality, join the hospitality team and help and serve, okay? Use your gifting for God. But you can also do something about the environment even while we wait for nations to catch up. What could you do about global warming? Well, you could first of all reduce your carbon footprint. Buy food that's locally made. If you want to be a good steward, you know, look at where the food comes from. If it comes from far away, then think carefully about whether or not you want to buy that food. Because if you buy food that's locally produced, you're helping to save the planet. You're helping to reduce your carbon footprint. Food that's made from far away has to use more pesticides and transportation, and all those things add to the cost. Eat, if you like, less meat. So some of us love meat, but you don't have to eat so much of it. 49% of all the emissions, all the global warming, 49% of all the emissions that come from agriculture come from meat production. So if we reduce our meat consumption, we reduce our carbon footprint. We help save the planet. If we understand that transportation accounts for 11% of agricultural emissions. So transportation, 11% of agricultural emissions. So if you buy food that's locally produced, you're helping to reduce the global warming in the planet. When you've got natural waste in your home, let me tell you this, 60 billion pounds, okay, of food materials are put into landfill in the United States every year. 60 billion pounds of food waste. If we composted that waste, we made compost, it would be a better thing than putting it into landfill, because compost makes the soil richer. And that would be something positive to do. Plastic, you know, stop buying things that are covered in plastic. We know that plastic is ruining our seas. If you're going to buy anything, use renewable plastic, but buy containers that are not disposable. If you change your behavior as a Christian and you start to buy out of containers that are not plastic, it will help the environment. It'll make a difference. Stop buying fast fashion. Don't buy cheap clothes that are disposable. In fact, some of the suffering that comes out of people, you know, some of these cheap shops, I don't know if you understand it, something like, what were the figures? In the UK, 300,000 tons of used clothes are burnt and put into landfill every year. 300,000 tons. We can change our behavior. We can stop doing these kind of things. And when we buy cheap clothes, what we're doing is we're perpetuating a market that's not sustainable. We can't sustain it. Better to buy quality clothes that will last you a long time than to buy disposable clothes. And so, as we come to a close this morning, I'd like us to pray that God would make us good stewards of our giftings in the church, and that God would make us good stewards of our environment in the world. Can we bow our heads in prayer, please? Father, we thank you that Joseph was a good steward. And Lord, we look at our own lives and we say, please help us, Father. We don't want to contribute to setting the world on fire in a negative way. We want to help save our planet. We want to be good stewards. And Father, we pray that you'd help us within the context of church. We don't want to just come to church and consume Christianity. We want to serve the body of Christ. We want to serve you within the church. Thank you for people like Jane that run groups. Thank you for people like Joanna that run groups and others that serve in this way. For the worship team, for Janet helping with worship, and Nathan and others on the PA. Thank you for those who serve to make things better for us. Father, show us how we can serve and be good steward of our giftings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.